by. It is time for Meet Me at the Diner right here on WCRS, and I have a special treat for you this afternoon. That's right, we have Neil Bortz here with us. You know, back in January, he gave up his talk show, turned it over to Herman Cain, and I guess he's been out there having a good time, just unleashed a new book, Maybe I Should Shut Up and Go Away, and we're going to be talking about that book. But I tell you what, he's, of course, been known as one of the top 25 talkers, most important radio talk show hosts in America. I like the fact that he also says he's an entertainer, and we are having him right here, right now. Neil Bortz, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great, and, you know, that was my job for 42 years, not to change the world. My job was just to entertain people and keep them around long enough to listen to commercials.
Well, there you go. That's a good one. Hey, before I go any further, I do need to ask you one question. I do understand that you are a capitalist with expensive tastes, and I want to make sure before we start this interview that all that paperwork I had to sign, I wasn't having to pay you too, was I?
They made you sign paperwork?
Oh, I'm telling you, pages and pages. I guess it goes back to the days when you were a lawyer.
Wow, I had no idea. In all my years of talk radio, I never had to sign anything to put anybody on the air.
That is a slight joke. I just was saying, you know, I'm not having to pay for that now. Pay on top of that,
oh,
am I?
No.
Okay.
No, now I make people like Sean Hannity pay because he's made out of money.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, you don't have to pay anything.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Now, you know, you were on for 42 years. One of the stories that I liked the best in reading your bio was the very fact that the day after the person that died that you love to listen to his show, you were knocking on their door trying to be part of the take over the position.
Yeah. Well, it was a talk show host. This was in 1970, late 1969. In Atlanta, and I listened to him all the time, and I kept trying to get a job on that radio station. And I'd go, when he'd make a speech, I would go there, but he committed suicide. He was trying to get back together with his estranged wife. She said no, and he committed suicide. So I just looked, excuse me, somebody was going to have to do that show. So I just showed up at the radio station the next day and asked for his job.
And I bet the radio station was pretty darn surprised.
Well, they were, and maybe a little insulted, but I told them, I said, look, it's not like he gave you 2 weeks' notice and you had a chance to go out and get somebody else. So the bottom line was they put me on the air, and that was 42 years ago.
You know, Jim Bohannon is a good friend of mine, and that's kind of similar to how Jim ended up, not the walking in the door, but a wrench got stuck in a space shuttle, and Larry King didn't come back from the space shuttle, so somebody said, well, how about Jim Bohannon for a fill-in tonight? And then after that, he ended up, of course, when Larry King retired, taking over the show.
Wow, has Larry King come back yet?
Has Larry King come back yet? No, doesn't he have a show on an internet show or something?
I'm not sure. I thought something had happened to him, and a space shuttle is maybe an alien abduction. That's as good of an explanation as any.
No. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But
Jim Bohannon is a great guy, by the way.
He is a great guy, and I sometimes go on his show, and he comes on my show, and we've just had a good friendship since we started carrying him here on WCRS. But tell me a little bit about, and also you need to know I own a jewelry store, and I understand you actually sold jewelry and were a buyer at Richie's.
My first ever job was as the assistant buyer in the fine jewelry department at Rich's department store in Atlanta. And
did you talk yourself into that job?
No, I listen, I was out of school. I needed work. So I applied. I don't really remember how that happened, but I applied. The high point of that was that one night I was working behind the counter, and Martin Luther King walked in to buy something for his wife, and I sold him a ring for his wife.
How about that?
Yeah, a little touch with greatness there.
Absolutely, that's terrific. But, you know, so I guess you must have selling in your blood, because you certainly have done a lot of different things in your life to end up as a talk show host. You certainly have a variety of experiences.
Well, I tell you, one of my experiences was trying to sell radio advertising. That's just about one of the hardest things I ever tried to do, and I want no part of that ever again. So I just rather give the sales weasels something to sell instead of me trying to get out there and sell it.
Absolutely.
Well, but, you know, you can see some of the stuff that I gave them to sell in the book. Like, oh, gosh, I mean, you're in talk radio. You know that every once in a while you just have to try to make things a little unexpected, a little out of the ordinary, and a little fun on the air. And so much of that is what I included in this book.
Shut up, and maybe I should shut up and just go away?
Yep. Things like throwing cats out of airplanes, killer dolphins in San Francisco or San Diego, how to mess up the newsman while he's reading the news on the air, what sort of trouble you can get into with delay systems. A lot of stories like that, because there's a lot serious about talk radio, but it is, after all, entertainment. So I figured after 42 years I had enough stories about my career that I could fill a book. Like, for instance, why the Virginia State Legislature one time passed or worked on a resolution to have me removed from all radio stations in Virginia.
And why did they do that, Neil?
Well, you'll have to read the book.
Oh, come on.
Now I'm selling. And why Bill O'Reilly on the air screamed at me, "You are a vicious SOB." On the air.
I saw that. So, I saw that in your bio.
Yeah, so those are the stories that people will get if they just download and read. Maybe I should just shut up and go away.
And, of course, that's available from, what, Amazon?
You can go to barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. Just enter my last name, B-O-O-R-T-Z, as a search term, and bingo, you'll see all of the books, whether you want a printed copy or a download, and it's all right there. And some Barnes & Noble stores have actually purchased bulk quantities of the book and put it on the shelf, especially in areas where my radio show was carried, because they've been getting such a demand for it.
Well, that's got to be pretty exciting to have a good demand for something when you write it.
It is. It's very nice. It can be very taxing. I really wrote the book for my granddaughter. She's 3 years old. But when she grows up and is married and has a grandchild, I want her to be able to pull that book off of a shelf, give it to her grandchild, or give it to her child, and say, "Here, read about what your great grandpa did."
You know, are you glad you gave up your radio show, Neil?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean that with any disrespect at all, but my wife, the Queen, and I, we have a real passion for traveling. And when you're tied to a microphone, you know, station managers don't like you to take long vacations. They hate that.
Right.
So a 2-week vacation was unheard of. So that meant, could you go to Europe and spend some time traveling around? No. Could you go to the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand? No. You were pretty much limited to sticking around close to home and seeing as much of the sights as you could in 1 week. Well, now Donna and I have one of those big Prevost motorhomes that we bought. We put a motorcycle on a lift on the back, and we tow a four-wheel drive. And here in a couple of weeks, we're getting ready to head west. We'll end up at places like Carlsbad, Grand Canyon, Yosemite, Crater Lake, Glacier National Park, Rocky Mountain National Park, Monument Valley, all of those places before we head back home to Florida.
So you didn't have your motorhome set up with a microphone system so you can call back in and be on call?
Well, if Herman Cain takes some time off, I'll be doing his show when he takes a vacation. So, yes, if need be, I can hook up some equipment and do the radio show right there from the motorhome.
Absolutely. Now, I know that you are a libertarian of libertarian, correct?
Yep.
What did you think of Rand Paul the other night with his filibuster?
I loved it.
Why do you think Lindsey Graham and John McCain were so against it?
Because I think that they're old GOP war horses who see that their time maybe has gone and that they're being replaced by younger, more dynamic, more determined conservatives and libertarians. And I think that they're fighting to hold on to whatever credibility and viability they can.
Yeah, I've had a hard time understanding why you'd be against something that ultimately brought you a smidgen of a response from Holder.
If you go on Drudge today or somewhere, maybe I saw it on Twitter, they're flying drones around Central Florida in the Orlando area right now. You know, you look up there, you see the drone. You don't have any idea who's controlling it. You don't have any idea who's flying it. You don't have any idea whether or not it has any assault capabilities or not. And it can see you in your backyard. Some of these drones can determine whether or not you're even carrying a weapon, which in Florida is quite legal if you have a concealed a weapons permit. And, you know, all Rand Paul was a definitive black and white statement from Barack Obama about whether, not whether he would, but whether or not he believes that the federal government should have the power to use a drone against an American citizen on American soil. I think it's a, considering the guy we have in the White House, that's a perfectly logical question. Obama wouldn't answer it. Eric Holder wouldn't answer it. So Rand Paul went on the offensive. Well, it's about time somebody goes on the offensive.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was terrific, but that's what I never understood is how and of course, Lindsey Graham is a senator from South Carolina here, so most of the time I can figure it out. This one I couldn't figure out.
No, I can't either, and a lot of people can't. I would venture a guess that Lindsey Graham has been looking in the mirror every morning for the last couple of days saying, "You dope, why did you have to step in that?"
I agree with you. I agree with you, Neil. Now, what do you think about Paul Ryan's budget? Do you think it has any hope at all, or where do you think we're going on this budget stuff?
Well, remember this about Paul Ryan's budget. It still calls for spending more money.
Yes.
I mean, it calls, as I understand it, and bear in mind I'm not doing a talk show anymore, so I don't have to keep up. I don't have to keep up to speed on this thing.
Sure.
But as I understand it, and I may be wrong, but Paul Ryan's budget simply reduces the rate at which spending increases, but it does not cut actual spending. We need to cut actual spending.
And what do you feel about the future of our country? Any hope at all?
Well, there's hope. I'm not optimistic. Unless Obama really makes a grave error, and he kind of screwed up the last week or so when he was doing this Chicken Little routine about the sequester, and the public opinion turned against him. And as soon as the public opinion turned against him, well, I'd better have dinner with some Republicans. I'd better go to Capitol Hill. I'd better meet some of the Republicans. Well, a few more mistakes like that, and my prediction might not come true, but the prediction is that next year the Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives. Then Obama will have the Democrats in the House and in the Senate. He will not have a re-election to worry about, and he will go on a big government anti-capitalist offensive such as you've never seen before. And it will take something like that in order to wake up a lot of Americans and show them what a despot we have in the White House. But right now, Americans are more concerned about NASCAR, worldwide wrestling, movies, and entertainment tonight than they are what's going on in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. Well, you know, is there any story out of your book that you're going to share with us? Or maybe not out of your book, maybe another story that didn't make it to the book.
Yeah, well, you know, I might want to write another book. Let's see, do I want to tell you about the time I landed an airplane in Jekyll Island, and when the ramp attendant opened the door, I was alone in the airplane with my pants around my ankles?
I don't know, do you?
Yeah, probably not, but that's in the book. I will tell you this, that many, many years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, Rush Limbaugh said to me, "Bortz, if you are ever inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, I want to deliver your induction speech." Well, about 5 years after he said that, I was inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So I sent an email to Rush Limbaugh. I said, "Well, you said this. I'm certainly not going to hold it to you, but if you could see your way clear to deliver the induction speech, it's going to be on September the 7th, I think it was, in Chicago, 2009, I believe. I'd love to have you." So in the book, we'll keep the suspense going. It explains what happened between Rush Limbaugh and me and the National Radio Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Well, darn, I thought I was going to get a real story here, Neil.
I'm here to sell books.
Well, next time, I guess the next time I have you on, I'm going to have read the whole darn book.
Yeah, you'll know the answer to all of these things.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? One of the things I was reading here that, you know, there is a question that you possibly might run for president.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Well, I read your story in here. It says that you might actually run. You get the best vice president, and you go in and you do a few things, and then you'd step down and let the vice president take over. I thought it was an excellent idea.
Well, it is a good idea. But now I am dedicated to making life as good as I can for the Queen, staying on the road, and just enjoying myself.
You got any plans to go overseas, or are you going to try to do the United States first?
Well, right in the middle of the summer, we're heading to Barcelona, Spain, for a 10-day cruise in the Mediterranean. Then we'll come back and continue our travels here. And then at the end of the year, I'm heading to Antarctica.
You're going to Antarctica?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that sounds like you've got a full schedule then.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely full schedule. So Herman Cain better pick his vacations carefully.
How do you think Herman Cain's doing? A lot of our people up here love Herman Cain.
Well, I love him, too. He loves people. He likes people a lot more than I do, to tell you the truth. I hope he's doing well, but to tell you the truth, when I retired, I really retired, and I don't listen to talk radio anymore.
You don't listen to talk radio anymore?
No, I've retired. I'm just, I read books. I like to work out, like to spend time on the beach. I like to spend time on the golf course, and of course, running around with my wife and... let's see, what else? Oh, just anything but work.
I understand you're an avid flyer.
Yeah, I've got my own little airplane. Sometimes in the morning when the weather's real pretty, I'll just get up and fly around the Florida Keys for a while. and I use it to get back and forth to Atlanta to see my grandbaby.
That's terrific. Well, you know, the book is Maybe I Should Just Shut Up and Go Away, but I don't think that's going to happen with Neil Bortz. It is available at Barnes & Noble, and it is available on Amazon for a download. Do you have any last words you'd like to share something with us to spur us on to read the book?
Well, to read the book, let me just say this, and I am not exaggerating a bit. I have yet to receive one negative comment on Twitter, by mail, by email. I have yet to receive one negative comment about the book. Everybody seems to love it, and they seem to think it's the funniest thing they've ever read. I don't know if that's true, but I'm so gratified that people are enjoying the book so much.
Well, I think that's terrific, and I think to be able to go into retirement, have some time to be able to spend and do some other things with your life is terrific. It looks like you have spent most of your life being very, very, very busy.
Well, I'm going to, like I say, I'm going to take life really slow right up until the time I die, and then I'm going to taper off a little.
God. Well, Neil Bortz, it certainly is a pleasure to have you on. I hope maybe we can have you on another time. Maybe I'll try to sit down and read that book and have you back on again.
Just give me a call.
All right. Thanks so much, Neil Bortz. Remember, you can see all his books. He's written several books, but his latest book, Maybe I Should Shut Up and Just and Go Away, by Neil Bortz, you can get it on Amazon. You can also get it at Barnes & Noble. Thanks so much for coming on today, Neil.
Okay, you take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.